Welcome to a new episode of Walk the Talk. And we'll talk about sustainable energy sources in wineries in this episode. I'm your host, Riikka Sukula, and I have a tiny vineyard in Serra Lunga d'Alba. And I must admit that I'm somewhat of a newbie to self-sufficiency in energy at my winery, as just 18 months ago, we installed a 15.5 kilowatt hour solar panel system. And now with the air heat converters, we are also able to reduce significantly the need for imported natural gas for our heating. The renewable energies in Italy today count to 38% of all energy produced, and Italy is still very much dependent on imported gas. The Italian aim is also unfortunately very modest, to reach just 55% by 2030, where the rest of Europe is aiming to reach over 75% in renewables. Much, much work to be done. Solar and wind power are the mostly used renewable sources, followed by geothermal, hydro, and biomass. One of my neighbors here in Serra Lunga, the owner of Cascina Cucco and La Raia wineries, Piero Rossi Cairo, is a true renewable energy enthusiast and expert, so I'm happy to walk his talk about energy-saving solutions and alternative sustainable energy sources for wineries. La Raia is a large biodynamic estate in the Gavi area in eastern Piedmont, with an over 180-hectare property, of which 45 hectares of vineyards, then grains, fruit orchards, forests, all cultivated with biodynamic farming methods. They also have a sustainable hotel and resort, and a very unique Steiner school and an art foundation in the property. Cascina Cucco in Serra Lunga d'Alba is a newer addition to Tenuta Rossi Cairo, and we are sitting in their beautiful tasting room this afternoon. Great to talk with you, Piero.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Let's start. Tell me a little bit about your career path as well. Your path to become a winemaker is not a very common one.
No. I like to always remind myself how lucky I was to have a way out from my previous working experience, because after graduating in law, I became an M&A lawyer. And actually, one of my fields of expertise was energy solutions. So I'm not proud to say that I've contributed to the creation of a lot of the huge solar plants in the south of Italy, not on roofs though, but on land, which has an impact on landscape, which we don't have to forget, because sometimes the option of renewable energy comes at a price.
And then how did you end up becoming
We had a winery, which is La Raia, already owned by my family since 2002, and which was managed by my sister for a long time. And then in 2014, my family bought a winery, Tenuta Cucco in Serra Lunga d'Alba. And when my family decided to add more complication on the table, and actually my sister decided to follow a separate path, she's now a teacher inside La Raia. We have a Waldorf school, the so-called Steiner schools, and she's a teacher and manages it. And so actually nobody in the family was looking after the wine business, so I took the option. And that's why I always like to remind myself I was lucky, because my life before was quite terrible in terms of working hours. And now I feel more I'm creating something for me and my family rather being just a corporate slave.
That's well put. What about your sustainability path? How did that start? What made you aware, and what made you take action in your wineries for more sustainable farming methods, winemaking practices, and especially your path in energy solutions?
I think we should divide the experiences of the two wineries because La Raya, which, as I mentioned before, was acquired in 2002, became quite fast an organic and biodynamic farm. We became Demeter certified in 2007. But my family did not, I would say, have the experience to also adopt at the time, renewable energy solutions. This is something which happened when I arrived in 2014. So we became quite renewable and sustainable since the beginning, meaning in the way we approached farming with our organic and biodynamic method. I like to remind myself how biodynamics actually helps to preserve the fertility of the soil and promote the biodiversity of the plants. And so La Raya, it's not just a winery. We like to call it a farm because we farm a little bit of spelt and rye. We produce honey. We have cattle. So we try, I always say try, not to source products from the outside. So we use the cow's manure once fertilized to actually fertilize our vineyards. So
Closer to the original idea of a complete cycle
within the farm, which is not always possible because as a farmer, I've learned to fight against two variables you cannot control, such as rain and sun. But we try to do our best. And Tenuta Cucco is starting now its approach to sustainability. It has become quite immediately organic. And I'm fighting a little bit against bureaucracy to make it more sustainable in terms of energy.
So let's take the path down to your specialty, the energy solutions. What can be done to improve energy efficiency or reduction of energy consumption in wineries in general, in your or wine industry, in your opinion?
I'm quite a fan of efficiency because I think the way we could actually change things in it's not, or at least in the fastest way, it's not on the production side, but it's on the consumption side. And that's where efficiency kicks in. What we're doing at La Raya, for instance, is, and it's the main source of energy consumption, is the fridge and all the cooling system, because La Raya, it's a winery which mainly produces whites. And so we use stainless steel tanks and controlled temperature to manage the wines. And so it's all cooled down. And at the moment, we use a traditional cooling system, which works basically as a fridge, which is not very efficient. So we're trying to change it with a heat pump method. Well, it's a complicated method because it's a mix between heat pump and geothermal, but it's very expensive, so I'm trying to have the bank to finance it.
Yeah, so it's a balance, taking these steps, balancing your investments,
yes,
and then the reduction of energy
that's
use.
That's the difficult part, because sometimes being efficient or turning your company to be efficient energy-wise can be a little bit expensive at the moment.
Upfront, especially. Yes. You need to make the investment first, and then you start gaining the results.
We tried to become efficient on the production side immediately last year by installing 136 kilowatts on the roof of the cellar. But I'm actually so much in love with it that I want to install more solar panels. But I'm waiting for incentives from the state to come out, which should come out quite soon. But the next step will be to become even more energy efficient on the consumption side. So changing the cooling system of the tanks, which is responsible of our main consumptions.
Of course. And because, as you said, La Raya is located in the Gavi region.
Yes.
So famous for the whites, which of course is such a different process than the production of red wines.
Yes, it absorbs much more energy because there is so much more need of cooling.
Sure. What about, you touched it already, and everybody loves bureaucracy in Italy. What could be done to speed up this process to change quicker to more renewable energy sources?
Something has been already been done, meaning the bureaucracy has been a little bit cut. But what we are very good in Italy is declaring things on one side. And when those things have to happen on paper, it's a different story.
The execution.
So exactly. On the execution part, we're not very, very good. So we will see how this will work. But I think on one side is to actually make being renewable cheaper.
Mm.
So it's too expensive.
Yeah,
even though it's less expensive than it was 10 years ago. Because I remember in my previous job as a lawyer, I was doing a lot of huge solar plants of about 0.999 megawatts. And the costs 10 years ago, there were almost two or three times as now.
Mm.
So the costs have dropped, but they need to drop more in order to compete with traditional energy sources.
Yeah.
Because to be renewable, it needs to make sense for normal people.
And the only sense is an economic sense, of course. Long-term economic sense. But two things that, for example, at my tiny property, we waited 10 years after the main restructuring of the house to do this change because both the cost went down, the efficiency went up, the longevity went up. So now they guarantee 30 years of good level production. And the actual solar panels are now over 95% recyclable.
Yeah.
So we know where the solar panel materials will end up at the end of their life cycle. So a lot of little things that have developed very quickly. And another interesting thing that you're saying is that could the incentive that everybody takes care of their own energy production be one solution instead of building those huge solar fields that every roof would have what they need?
Which do not have a very nice impact on landscape.
Yeah, but there's a lot of technological improvements on that as well.
Sometimes I think being efficient and sustainable comes at a compromise, at a price. So I always say we have a little bit in Italy, the NIMBY syndrome, which is not in my backyard. We're always very good at talking about renewable energy and so on. But when it comes to properly installing wind turbines, solar plants, everybody says no. So we need to stop doing it that, because also we need to understand that there are not so many ways we can produce energy. And also wind turbines and solar panels have one big problem. They are intermittent. They do not produce constantly.
Mm.
So as a state, we need to think of also a third energy solution which can permit to produce continuously. The problem we're experiencing now with the war is that Italy has turned back on coal facilities to produce energy, which, as you might imagine, is not very environmentally friendly because we were buying gas from Russia, and if we want to stop gas, we need to turn back on coal. So, and coming back to your question, yes, I think a little step has been done already, because when you make a new house, I think you have the obligation to put at least solar panels for hot water.
Yeah.
Not for electricity, but for hot water, yes. But yes, a big contribution would come if every single individual would put at least 1 or 2 kilowatts on their roof.
Mm-hmm.
kind of borrowing the concept of kilometro zero that we have in food also to energy, that the closer it is produced, more efficient it is, cheaper it is, because of course we already pay a lot of taxes and the transportation of electricity and energy is quite expensive.
But I'm also against storage, for instance, because storing electricity as of today with traditional batteries, it's a little bit too expensive.
Yeah.
So you start repaying your storage implant once it's probably too old. We need to understand that storage shouldn't be done on a single level. The biggest storage of energy, we already use it, nobody knows about it, which is water. So pumping facilities do storage because they pump water up during the day when we can produce with the sun, and they actually use that water which has been pumped during the day to produce electricity during the night. So
there is a good equilibrium.
Exactly. And the problem is also that the technology of batteries has not evolved since almost 30, 40 years. So even though I'm driving a nice electric car, I must admit that the big problems electric cars still face is the storage of their energy, the technology of which is still quite old.
And there was a little bit of a movement and fuss a few years ago when the Tesla Power Walls, for example, came to the market, but they're no longer even available here in Italy anymore.
I tried to have one ordered.
Yeah, me too.
but it never arrived. Impossible.
And it is, as you said, maybe it is already too old technology. It's a wrong way of thinking about the problem.
Yes. Well, the Tesla Powerwall, it's very neat to look at. It's very nice. But when I've spoken with quite a few engineers, they told me, Piero, it's much better to invest that money in more solar panels rather than storage.
Which is what you've done at La Raya. You said that you had 135 kilowatts.
Yes, which is approximately double my need.
So you sell back to the system to balance off the total consumption.
Although the price at which we sell energy is a little bit too low compared to the prices on the market right now. Yes, we basically do not storage energy, but use the grid as a big battery bank. We sell during the day and buy back at night.
During the night. Because, of course, in wine production, the energy, it's unlike at a home.
It's
24 hours.
Yes.
When you need to cool the wines, you need to cool the wines. And there comes this
luckily, I need more energy in the summer because of the temperatures, which are higher. So my energy consumption to cool the tanks is higher.
It's higher in the summer. And then, of course, in the wintertime, you don't need cooling because it's cool already. So
exactly. My cellar has been made in a way it's not heated. So I had to buy warmed electrical jackets, which have a battery, if I didn't want my winemaker to freeze to death in the cellar, which is in the winter can go down to 2 or 4 degrees.
Yeah. Is your aim in both wineries, is your objective to become carbon neutral?
Yes.
Do you monitor and report that?
I don't want to advertise the partner we're going to work soon with, but we identified a partner in order to do exactly what you just mentioned, to carry out a program to totally be carbon free.
So what are the next steps to achieve that?
Increase the production of electricity through solar panels and actually try to reduce our consumption.
The total consumption.
Which is probably where our biggest investment will go to in the next years.
Sure. Do you also consider, for example, rainwater collection as...
No, not yet. We don't. It doesn't even rain that much at La Raya.
Not enough.
That's the big problem.
Well, what about, let's twist the coin completely the other way around. What can wine drinkers do, in your opinion, to make sure that they make conscious choices and
choose wisely? Mm. I mean, wine is basically a commodity. It's you can find thousands of different types of wines. But I think in a way, because it's a commodity, the real difference is made by who makes the wine and the story behind the wine. And when you check out the story, it will come out quite immediately who does the wine in a sustainable way compared to big companies or anyway producers who don't care about it.
Mm.
And let me add, the problem is right now that there are a lot of producers who care about sustainability, but the producers who really care about it are not many, because it has become mainly a marketing leverage to make a difference, to differentiate yourself from others.
So you see still a little bit of consciousness washing or greenwashing?
I see a lot of that on organic production. We are proud at La Raya to have become organic and biodynamic in 2007. And at that time, my sister was seen as a witch. Now it's basically normal to produce organic and biodynamic wine. But we're proud to tell people that we've done it, the conversion, when nobody was doing it.
And your communication is on your website. You communicate it also very clearly, transparently, and traceable.
We try to communicate not too much, because I'm a fan of little but very precise communication.
Yeah, which is a good philosophy also in sustainability. Knowing what you're doing, learning more, taking small steps, and the same goes with the communication. Just to tell what is actually correct. At Raya, you also offer a day in Gavi experience for enogastronomic tourists. What's involved in that day? You already mentioned earlier that you have a school, you have a lot of other cultivation. It's not a winery experience. It's much, much more.
To complicate our lives. So we also started a hotel 6 years ago, because my idea was to actually be able to bring people inside the winery and let them stay one or two days in order to properly understand what we were doing. Because there is so much to see, starting from the school of my sister to the farming of the vines, of the other productions I've mentioned before, to actually just have a picnic in the fields inside La Raya, because I haven't said so, but we have 48 hectares, but the state is 180.
Wow.
So there's quite a lot of space to just walk around and experience one or two days in a biodynamic reality.
So you live the experience.
Yes. I always say we try to offer the experience to live La Raya fully in one or two days, which is not just wine. It starts maybe with wine and can end up with a dinner at our restaurant, or just staying over for the night and having riding the bike or a horse around the estate. It's a 360 degrees experience in a way.
And that's also a way not just to tell people what you've thought to do, but you demonstrate, you let them live through the experience, so that also their understanding and awareness goes to a completely new level.
I love what you just mentioned, because when I started this job, coming from being a lawyer, I always say, I've learned after 6 years of law practice not to be very nice as a lawyer. But when I started this job and as a winemaker and wine manager, the first 2 years I basically traveled all around the world promoting our wines, and I had to learn to be nice to people.
That's a great skill.
And actually, this helped a lot to understand how wine is a lot about communicating, and sometimes what you communicate in order to sell is not true. So I decided, let's actually stop talking and let's bring the people in the winery to let them develop their own idea, let them see with their own eyes what we do. And we can talk and talk and talk, but what is better than experiencing yourself? What you have on the table, the wine bottle you have on the table.
It's our podcast name. It's Walking the Talk.
And I think that's also the future of wineries, because one of the few things we're left in Italy, it's wine, food, and landscape. Mm-hmm. And Italians are not very good at managing people. So, and managing things. We need to learn to actually manage in a better way what we inherited it from the past. Because we could just live out of that.
And that's also the only sustainable way to go forward. Well, thank you so much. It's so inspiring to talk with you always and learn from your examples. Thank you for sitting down with me today, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, the pleasure Piero. Was mine. Have
thank
a great
you, Piero.
Day.
Stay curious and stay on the path of sustainability. Creating a more sustainable lifestyle is easy and starts with the first actions today. It's a path, not a project. This episode of Walk the Talk has been produced by Gabi de Villoutre, edited by sound engineer Vincent Wagner, graphic design by Julie Bell, and marketing by Johanna Lindholm. You'll find more information on the episode on sukula.com/podcast. Follow us on Instagram @lalanghetta. We'd love to hear from you, so please get in touch.